Maryland legislature came up with the idea they were going to pass eminent domain, and they were going to acquire the Colts, which was the most foolish thing they could have possibly done, because it really is not much other than a bunch of weight rooms and uniforms. You know, there's not much for them to really claim.
I'm Blaine.
This is Jeff.
And this is Hidden Indy, the podcast that tells you the story of how Indianapolis came to be through stories you probably haven't heard.
On this episode, you'll hear from John Merlin, Tom King, and Sid Weedman.
Welcome to Hidden Indy. I'm Blaine.
This is Jeff.
And today we're going to talk about how we got the Colts. So as we've heard, let's quick recap. Unigov, AAU disbands, Market Square Arena, National Sports Festival, Hoosier Dome. Now we have a big dome, and we have this awesome convention center, well on our way to the number one convention center city in America. Yet we have this big empty dome. It's building. We're building a big empty dome.
Yeah.
And we have some folks that are out still trying to get us an expansion team.
Yeah, I think we have plans to have it filled, you know, like 2 or 3 days out of the month for the whole year, and we're trying to fill it the entire year.
Well, we're trying to fill it
permanently,
just about for 8 Sundays every year for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe throw in some Saturdays, maybe throw in some Friday nights, and then whatever conventions we can get during the week, right?
Yep.
So the initial plan, we'll get into kind of how we got into the Baltimore thing, but let's kind of do the smart thing and start at the beginning here.
What?
So, yeah, I know that's very out of character for us. So the initial plan here was to get an expansion team.
Yeah.
We were taking our mock-up of the Hoosier Dome to owners' meetings, some that we were invited to, some that we just showed up at and went. There were Dave Frick, Jim Morris, were really influential. Tom King were really influential. I know we're missing people. That's just trying to get the big players out. They were very influential in getting in front of the other owners, essentially becoming friends with them and convincing them that if we're going to expand the NFL, you should expand it into Indianapolis.
Right.
But we met all these NFL people, and they were very impressed, you know, and they wondered, you know, how are you guys doing this? And we knew who our competition was, too. We knew that our competition was Jacksonville, Phoenix, Memphis, and Charlotte. And you know, we're just trying to convince you that we're just as good as any of those guys. And we built a stadium.
So,
and that's not unheard of. I mean, the NFL was expanding.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah, so they had Phoenix in mind, because the Cardinals hadn't moved there yet. They had Jacksonville in mind. They had Charlotte in mind, which is interesting because Jacksonville and Charlotte both got teams,
right?
But they didn't get teams for a decade.
Right. That would have been our team.
Right. So the expansion process obviously took so long that had we ended up going that route, we wouldn't have gotten a team until mid-90s. Right. It was like 93.
Yeah.
And we would be the Jaguars.
Right, the Indianapolis Jaguars.
How about this? If we would have gotten an expansion team, your quarterback would be Blake Bortles right now. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I don't know if we can rewrite all of history, but yeah.
That is no Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Like, that is a considerably large butterfly effect. Like,
yeah.
That is a giant concrete butterfly.
Yeah.
We really thought we were getting one of these expansion teams. Like, these talks at the owners' meetings had gone very well.
Mm-hmm.
We really were kind of in the driver's seat.
We had our pamphlets.
Yeah.
We had our presentations. We were wine and dining.
We had our terrarium.
Yeah.
And but then when we did, and we had this model that we took, I mean, it was the size of this room. And it had this box that was a wooden box that it was in that was just incredible. And we took a whole bunch of stuff, other stuff with us. We took a bunch of, I called them Coke machines. We took There were about 10 of them probably. They were, and it was high tech at the time. But what you did was you walked up to it and you, you know, pushed a button and a picture came up, or a series of pictures of something. One was downtown, one was the monument, one would have been the state house, one, you know, and other things. And then with some economic figures about how many people live here, you know. And we had five or six of these around in the room, and in this big room, we rented a room, you know, in the hotel. And then right in the middle was the stadium, under a plexiglass thing so nobody could play with it.
Yep.
Isn't that what you call it when you build something in middle school for like a science project?
Make it really small. Yeah.
Yeah. We had that of the Hoosier Dome.
We had the fake people standing outside.
Exactly.
Of it.
Yeah. And it, the dome, actually, if you remember when we talked to John Merlin about this, the dome came off.
Right. You could see all the seats.
Yeah. You could see everything. One of the things at that time we hadn't considered was what color the inside of the dome was, which will come into play in this story, right?
Right.
So luckily we didn't show it to Derek Zoolander, who would have not understood the concept. What is this, a football stadium for ants?
I'm glad we got that in.
Thank you. So we were in the running, essentially, Indianapolis, Phoenix, Jacksonville, Charlotte, mm-hmm. right? These are really the four cities that have a shot at an expansion team.
But you know what we had?
We had a dome being built.
A dome.
Yeah.
Right.
The other cities actually didn't have this. I believe Phoenix did. Phoenix had a place they could have played. It wasn't the University of Phoenix Stadium.
Right.
But they did have a place that could have played football, because they ended up getting the Cardinals fairly shortly after we got the Colts.
Right.
So we're chugging along. Seems like everything's going really well. Looks like we're definitely getting this expansion team. And all of a sudden, we get a phone call from some folks in Baltimore.
Ursay? That folk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Baltimore was looking at us, the Colts were looking at us, as well as a couple Florida cities and some other places.
Yeah. One of my favorite quotes here, and this might be jumping the gun a little bit, so spoiler alert, we get the Colts. So Hudna actually had some ties to Baltimore. I think he was a, can't wait to get corrected here, maybe like a pastor there at a church. He spent some time in Baltimore, and our cities are very similar, right? Blue collar, hardworking towns. So there was a quote here that he actually kind of felt bad for Baltimore, right? Like, he grieved with them that they're losing their team. But at the same time, in his words, we didn't steal your team. You lost your team. Like, we just happened to be there, right? Like, to your point, we weren't trying to get the Colts. We were trying to get an expansion.
Yeah, and I think that whenever you hear, you know, there's the 30 for 30, the band that wouldn't die, mm-hmm. that talks about the band right. that was playing as Mayflower showed up, which right. we'll talk about. But whenever you hear the Baltimore folks talking about it, Indianapolis is the villain,
absolutely.
Right? And it wasn't, that was not the case.
Right.
The villain was really Baltimore's legislation.
Right.
Well, no, it was Baltimore, the mayor, and the governor.
Right.
These guys had an issue with the Ursays.
They didn't feel that they were welcome and wanted in Baltimore.
They weren't really big fans, and they really refused to budge on building a new stadium. So they had this stadium. We're in the mid-70s now, right? Baltimore's had the same stadium since 1953.
Right.
Okay. They actually put together a stadium committee, and the words they used were that 10,000 of the seats were, quote, less than desirable.
Yeah.
20,000 seats had no back support. And then the other stat is 7,000 so-called seats were
quote-unquote seats.
Yeah, were so poorly constructed, they actually just brought in temporary seats to replace them.
Yeah, they just brought chairs.
We're talking about a dilapidated stadium, right? So they had an idea. Well, they decided, okay, well, we'll build the Balto Dome. So they were going to build the Balto Dome, right? And they were going to try to build a facility that was roughly around the same price that we built the Hoosier Dome for. We built the Hoosier Dome for $77. They were estimating it was going to cost about $78. Mm-hmm. They were a little bit concerned about Irsay himself, and it sounds like Baltimore's mayor and the governor weren't really big Irsay fans. We're talking Robert Sr.
Right.
So,
to be fair, I mean, he sounds like, you know, I don't know the term. The best caricature I can think of is like a Trump businessman, right?
Irsay Sr.?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Like, you know, no nonsense. Right, kind of stubborn guy. Right?
Well, and he was openly saying, "Hey, I'm willing to move. I'm not gonna make any bones about it." I mean, he got the Orioles by trading for them on the golf course.
Right.
So he wasn't he's from the West Coast. He was buddies with the guy that owned the Colts, and he ended up buying the Rams and trading them to Rosenbloom for the Colts because Rosenbloom's wife wanted to move west.
Yeah.
So, like, he'd already kind of done some, I don't know, I wouldn't even call it shady. I mean, it's just, it's a weird thing to do,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
it's not something you or I could do.
Yeah, and the city and the state were really upfront about, like, hey, and the Orioles owner. They were like, we don't know about this dude. He traded franchises. We don't know if we want to get in bed with him.
Right.
It ended up the Maryland legislature wouldn't pass the bill. Mm-hmm. The Orioles owner said, "Hey, I get it. I'll back off." And then the mayor pulled the plug.
Yeah.
The governor, sorry, Governor Mandel pulled the plug on the idea. And the Orioles owner had a good quote. He said, "I'll bow to the will of the people. They've told us what they want to tell us, and they don't want a new park. And apparently they don't want a football team."
Right.
So Irsay, you know, he said he was willing to wait, but the whole time he's waiting, he's talking to other cities.
Well, and for the past, what is it, like 3 years, attendance is dwindling.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, the team's not great.
Well, they made the playoffs all through the mid of the 70s.
Yeah.
And they were obviously Johnny Unitas. They were great
right.
earlier before the merger.
Right. But yeah, I mean, and that, I think, is a financial toll. I don't know anything about how billionaires make even more money, but I think the empty seats is a financial toll on, you know, these club owners, right?
Yeah, so at this point, he's claiming he's willing to wait, and he's publicly now in 76 and 77 talking to Phoenix and Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. So we are still kind of fishing around the idea of trying to get an expansion team while kind of behind closed doors, as we alluded to. So publicly, not very many people in Indianapolis know we're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, once we get everything kind of going on the Hoosier Dome, that's when things start coming out that we're really pursuing an expansion team or moving a team here. Well, Irsay comes out and shows his cards in 77, and he's like, "Phoenix has given me an offer, Indianapolis has given me an offer, but I'm willing to wait on this stadium."
Right, let's match it.
And right. Baltimore called his bluff. 1980 is when he really started shopping him around, so he was talking to Los Angeles, Memphis, Jacksonville, Charlotte, and I mean, when he went down to Jacksonville, he went to the Gator Bowl, and they had 50,000 people there trying to convince him the Colts should move there.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty obvious at that point that something was going to happen, right? Reaching fever pitch, right? So even in Indianapolis, prior to this happening, we had bumper stickers, like, "We heart the Colts," like T-shirts about the Colts. Like, we were already kind of all in on it being the Colts, like Jacksonville, like these other cities. I mean, they were doing everything they can to woo, you know, the Baltimore or, you know, Irsay's to move here.
So this is going on. We do our feasibility study. We eventually land on building the Hoosier Dome. 1982 construction starts, and you know, Dave Frick is saying, hey, sports is definitely an element in this game plan. We are 100%, you know, this is on the front of our minds now. It's not necessarily just the thing that we realized, you know, kind of back when the AAU disbanded, it was, oh, this could be an idea. Now right. It's like, hey, sports can really pump up our overall economic value, right?
We already saw some short-term gains. So, yeah, let's go for it.
So, early 84, March, NFL says, all right, Bob, you can move your city mm-hmm. if you want to move your city. So he's talking to even more cities. Now we're talking Birmingham. I don't know why you would put it in. And New York City, those added. And then eventually it came down to us in Phoenix.
Right.
Baltimore came out and said, we don't have the bonding capacity. Nobody is voting for this. We're not building a $60 million stadium. They'd also kind of kicked around the idea of $24 million just to renovate Memorial, right. which is where the Colts and Orioles were playing. Phoenix was saying, hey, we'll let you use Sun Devil Stadium, which is where Arizona State played, outdoor stadium. I don't know that you necessarily need an indoor stadium in Phoenix.
Right.
Eventually that kind of fell through because the Friday before the Super Bowl, they were supposed to have these secret meetings. So everything was supposed to be secret, right?
Right.
Well, the secret meeting with Phoenix came out, and so they had to cancel the meeting. And that whole time, the Indianapolis was, like we said, they had Robert Welch. He was the one that wanted to buy an expansion team.
Mm-hmm.
So Phoenix is negotiating with Baltimore. Indianapolis is negotiating with Baltimore. Robert Welch is negotiating with the NFL to buy an expansion team to bring him to Indianapolis. And Pete Rozelle comes out and says, sorry, we're not going to put an expansion team in. Right. Pete Rozelle, at the time, he was the commissioner of football at the time. Probably made considerably less than Goodell. So then Herb Simon steps up. Hey, guys, Indianapolis, let's get serious about this. Let's mm-hmm. go get the Colts. We're not getting an expansion team. Let's go get the Colts. So then Dave Frick started some secret negotiations with our counsel, Michael Chernoff, and the Ursays came up to Indianapolis to check out the Hoosier Dome walls being built.
Right.
And this is where that color scheme comes in.
Baltimore Colts were looking for a place, and Bob Ursay came into the dome, and I think that's what we call the Hoosier Dome then, and stood there and looked all around. He said, you know, this is great. The seats are all blue.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he sees all blue and white, and he realizes, you know, this is going to work out. This is his color. This is his team. And it was pretty quick after that, right? I mean, once it was pretty obvious that Indianapolis was in contention and the Ursays were absolutely going to move, is when Baltimore kind of played their last card, right?
Mm-hmm. So that was in February when Ursay came up and saw the Hoosier Dome. March 27th, Maryland passes eminent domain on the city, or giving Baltimore the right to seize the Colts. So,
which is
it's insane. It's the same thing as we want to expand Fall Creek Road, so we're taking half your front yard.
Right.
There's nothing you can do about it. Here's some money.
Which
we'll
you
pay
can
you
do.
For it, which right. you can do.
Because it's a front yard.
But it's front yard. It's not a football team.
People.
What's
you
crazy.
You can't eminent domain people.
Exactly. So what were they really eminent domaining?
Maryland legislature came up with the idea they were going to pass eminent domain, and they were going to acquire the Colts, which was the most foolish thing they could have possibly done, because it really is not much other than a bunch of weight rooms and uniforms. You know, there's not much for them to really claim.
Jerseys,
shoulder pads,
right.
Helmets,
yeah.
A building. Okay, cool. All of a sudden, shots fired, right? Like, he opened the nuclear football. Bob Ursay's like, all right, buddy.
Yeah.
Phoenix.
So there was actually, this is kind of important, whether he would have or not, Irsay had said, like, hey, if we actually decide we're going to move this team, we'll call the mayor first. We'll let him know. Like, it was going to be a very cordial situation, right? And then this happens, and he's like, no, I've got no obligation to you. You're trying to steal all of my stuff from me. Not steal, eminent domain.
Yeah.
My stuff. And so, yeah, everything from there falls under this, you know, cloak of darkness.
Well, now everything has to move fast, right? Exactly. So this is March 27th. So I made that nuclear football joke. Chernoff, the counsel for the Colts, mm-hmm. made basically the same comment. He said they not only threw down the gauntlet, but they put a gun to his head, cocked it, and said, do you want to see if it's loaded?
Right.
They made him make a decision that day. That's the whole quote.
Right.
The next day, Phoenix is like, all right, we're out. We don't want any part of this.
Yeah.
We'll just screw St. Louis over later. It's fine. So yeah. There's a theme.
There's no 30 for 30 on that one.
Yeah, there's a theme in St. Louis about how they have football teams and then they all move west.
Yeah.
Nothing against St. Louis, but come on.
So this is
Irsay calls Mayor Hudnut.
Right. This is an important piece is that happenstancely, Mayor Hudnut's next door neighbor, Johnny B. Smith.
Johnny B. Smith.
Yeah. The owner of the Mayflower Transit Company.
Yeah, weird. Where have we heard that name before? Mayflower. So, Irsay calls Hudnut, Mayor Hudnut. I don't want to be disrespectful. Irsay calls Mayor Hudnut, says,
whoever can get moving trucks or somebody over here to move all this stuff out wins.
I'll give you a... and Indianapolis says, we'll give you a $12.5 million loan. We'll give you a $4 million training complex and the Hoosier Dome. But we don't have all built right now. Also, elementary school. Like, when you get here, training complex in elementary school, it's cool. We got you. Like, we're going to build it.
Yeah.
As soon as he gets off the phone, to your point, he calls Johnny B. Smith. He gets Mayflower trucks. They fire them up. They fire them up
for free.
And
this is how much Indianapolis wanted a team.
Yeah,
he was like, "You let me know, and I'll be there. I'll do this for free, no questions asked. Just give me a little heads up so I can get some drivers."
Yeah. So he sends 15 trucks down. They load everything up that night. Drive it in the dead of night. It's snowing.
Yeah.
The band is playing. The legislature gets up the next morning and they're like, we got them.
Yeah.
We're getting the Colts to stay here. They vote on it. They win 103-19. And then they go, like, I can just imagine, like, they all march down in their suits and they're like wool giant jackets. And they're like, we're going to show Bob Irsay what's up. And
we're
they open the doors.
On everything.
Yeah. They open the doors, empty.
Yeah.
Colts are gone. There's just a band, like, wah, wah. I hope the band stayed and did
that. He waited that whole time to do that.
Let's try to see if we can't hire an animator just to make that happen, like our recount of the events that we never saw.
Right.
Okay.
And again, this sounds villainous when you say that you're excited about the trombone thing. But again, like, Baltimore forces hand.
Yeah.
They lost the team. We didn't steal your team.
And granted, the people of Baltimore voted and said, we don't want to pay for this. Right. That's fine.
You can't won't have a team. Your cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
Right.
Also, don't act like stealing a team from a city is the worst thing in the world when you're going to do it to Cleveland 15 years later.
Right.
That's the thing that gets me about Baltimore in this whole thing is they still cry foul. And it's like, you did the same thing to a team that was around way longer than the Colts.
Right. But they had the band.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So here's the other cool part. So when the trucks left the Baltimore, all 15 trucks took a different route. So if one of them got pulled over by Maryland State Police, the other 14 would make
just
it back.
Keep going.
Like, that's good.
It's like a heist movie.
And then once it hit the Indiana border, we crossed the Ohio River, Indiana State Police was there to escort them to Indianapolis.
Yeah.
So, like, it was, yeah, I think we could get, like, Ocean's 14, except for if no ocean.
Right. Well, we could get Danny Ocean.
Oh, that's true. It's not named after the water because it's in Vegas.
Yeah.
No, yeah, we could make this like Ocean 79.
Right.
whatever number we're on of those movies.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, that whole story, it's us. If that type of thing doesn't make you want to be a Colts fan from Indianapolis, like, I don't know.
I mean, there were parades in the street. I mean, people were lining up to see
Mayflower
trucks.
Them show up.
Right.
And then they get here and they're unloading everything and it's a... it's an elementary school.
Right.
And I mean, I think we have a clip.
But they were just the regular behind the scenes people. It wasn't players and it wasn't Bob Irsay. It was the people who worked there, who did the, you know, day-to-day jobs of helping run a football team. And they were just moving boxes into classrooms that they turned into offices and things like that, and then sort of scoping out how they could get a field put together.
Of one of the Johns, yeah, talking about how the equipment manager's like, I guess we'll just throw everything in the classroom over here. I know it was the cafeteria. Yeah. They ended up posting up in the cafeteria. Players are showing up the next day like, I don't know where I'm going to stay.
Right.
I think some players stayed at that elementary school for a while because they had to move here.
Well, that's the thing. You don't just move a team and now, you know, 53 players or whatever. You move 100 personnel, right? I mean, they all have families. I mean, there was a lot of temporary housing that needed to be considered for this all to work out.
Yeah, and there was a lot. That wasn't the end of the story for Baltimore. They were understandably upset. They sued to try to get the team to move back, and the district court threw it out, said, no, you can't, but you can have the trophy. So Super Bowl V,
right,
the Lombardi Trophy is still in Baltimore.
Right.
They did win that, which it's fine. I'm – sidebar here. I would be upset if the Indianapolis Colts took credit for that.
Right.
Because I really hate it, like – the Lakers do this. Mm-hmm. They take credit for the Minneapolis Lakers NBA titles.
Yep.
Like I'm pretty sure the Cardinals do that. Like, mm-hmm, they take credit for the St. Louis or the Chicago Cardinals.
Right.
AFL, whatever it was.
Right.
Yeah, like teams do this a lot because teams move a lot. Like the Sacramento Kings used to be in Rochester.
Right.
And they claim that they have NBA titles because the Rochester Royals with Oscar Robertson won. The Rochester Royals, Oscar Robertson, won NBA titles, and they were like, yeah, we haven't won a title since then. It's like, no, Sacramento, you've never won one.
Right.
I'm sorry to break it to you, but that's not how it works.
Well, that's the thing. Like, until Peyton Manning, the Indianapolis Colts hadn't won a Super Bowl. Like, that team hadn't existed. The Baltimore Colts, yeah.
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 And as we'll find later, like, we weren't really all that great for a while. Yeah, it's true.
That's fair.
It's the same with the Pacers, right? Like, right, we got to be honest about it. When the Pacers first moved into Market Square Arena, we weren't good for a while.
Right.
When the Colts first moved back here, we weren't good for a while.
But the interesting thing was that everyone was so excited to have an NFL team. It didn't matter.
Yeah, we were just, what did we win that first game? Like two games?
Two or three. We literally did throw a parade the year we went 3-13 or whatever. Just because we were here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so people do make fun of Indianapolis for hanging AFC South banners, right? Yeah. We've been like that from day one.
Right.
We've just really been excited. Yeah, yeah. We were just like, look what we did.
Yeah.
So you can't, I hesitate to fault Colts fans just because, especially the long-standing Colts fans. You can make the argument till you're blue in the face that there's plenty of Colts fair weather fans. Guess what? There are fair weather fans in every single city.
Right.
Right? Outside of probably Green Bay, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland. Like, right, where they're like, we good, we suck, we don't care, we're there. Right. It's cold.
It's cold. You know? They're all cold weather.
Yeah. But Colts fans that have been around, they're like, we remember what it took to get our team, mm-hmm, but we remember what our city was like before we had our team.
Right.
And we remember what our city was like before we hosted the National Sports Festival. And we remember what our city was like when all we really had, when all you could do to get a Hoosier office tractor.
I remember one columnist said that the only time you can get a Hoosier down off his tractor is when he goes to the high school basketball game, or he goes to the state fair, or he goes to the 500-mile race.
Is to take him to the state fair or to take him to a high school basketball game, right, and look at where we are now,
right?
Right? That's a huge jump, and we're only 60% of the way through the story.
Right. Yeah, because that same comment can be made before and after the Super Bowl.
Right.
Hosting it, not playing it.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, our city hasn't changed that substantially since the Super Bowl, but it has changed quite a bit. And right. when we talk, when we get into that later in the season, you'll see like a lot of things. There were a lot of far-reaching effects because of the Super Bowl, not only in the sports community and economically, but on homelessness right. and in the arts community and
the whole Near East side.
Whole Near East side and the NFL and how the Super Bowl's run in the future.
Right. And none of that happens if this doesn't happen, if the Colts aren't here, if the RCA Dome isn't built.
Yeah, so yeah. like we really, you know, I keep saying we've set the foundation, but this is where like we just put the roof on the house,
yeah.
right? Like the roof is on the house. Now all we're doing,
inflated.
Yeah, from here on out, what we're doing is we're like putting in a west wing. We're going to add some like a gazebo on the in the backyard. We're going to put in like a carport.
Yeah.
I mean, we're really at this point, we've cemented a great American city.
Right.
And people may still say in 1984, well, you got the Colts, you got the Dome, you got the National Sports Festival, you're still a flyover city. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? In about 2 years, we're going to be hosting one of the biggest and most controversial international events that we've seen mm-hmm. right in the middle of all the infighting of the Cold War, and we boycott your Olympics and you boycott my Olympics, and we're able to create something, including a communist country, Cuba,
right.
that was wildly successful and showed everybody, wow, Indy came from nothing. They draped it. They started at the bottom. Yeah. Now they're hosting international events.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe we need to put them on the radar. Maybe they're more than a convention city, right? It is wild. We're going to hear about Fidel Castro talking for hours on end at 3 in the morning. He wrote a book to address his people, how he assumed that we were paying people off. There was an assassin. There was a horse that got jailed. It was wild.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is, we're in.
Right. We were excited about the Colts episode. But that's nothing compared to...
If you can't tell from my voice, this section of the podcast is the one I'm the most excited about.
Yeah.
So stick with us. We want to give a giant thank you to Doug Carr and the DK New Media Studio for hosting us and allowing us to record here in the studio.
Please follow us at Hidden Indie Pod on Twitter or facebook.com/HiddenIndiePod.
And if you have any questions or want to reach out to us at all, hit us up on email. It's hiddenindiepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.